podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
What happened in your world last year? Have you had the opportunity to sit down and think through the last year, 2011, and what lessons you may have learned, what difficulties you had, the days of joy, the days of tears, and where God has brought you since this time last year? It's funny, as we come on an election year, we're going to hear candidates say, "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" And that's probably a good question for us to ask about our spiritual lives. Are we better off than we were a year ago as individuals, as a church? So this morning, we're going to take a little bit of time to think this through and to talk about our commitments as a church. And, let me begin by talking about the youngest. We'll start by talking about our preschool and our nursery and how that sector of our church has grown. I don't know if it's something in the water or what it is, but we continue to see little ones being produced in our congregation and the nursery being filled. And we obviously have some committed nursery and preschool workers who continue their work, and there's always need for more of them. But, really the preaching of the gospel and the truth about Jesus Christ begins then at the home with those little ones and here in the church and in the nursery and in the preschool. And then we move on to children's ministry, and we think about this past year and the opportunities that our children had to go to camp, to be involved in children's church during our Sunday morning hour. You don't know each week how I hear from these children how much they enjoy that time. And I know parents have come to me and told me that their children are learning quite a bit about the Lord Jesus Christ through children's church. In addition to that, our children's ministry team has put together all sorts of fun activities through the year, and our Wednesday night time together, as well as Sunday school on Sunday mornings. And we're thankful for what the Lord is doing in the lives of our children as they continue to grow. Eventually, whether it's for good or bad, those children become teenagers, right? They become youth. And we really are blessed here at Quaker Gap with our young people. We're thankful for each and every one of them and for the time and the effort that our leaders spend in helping them become stronger believers in Jesus Christ. And we have watched them over the last year as they have committed themselves not only to having fun as a youth group, but to ministering as they went to Kentucky and Puerto Rico, as they led our vacation Bible school here at the church, and have been involved in other mission opportunities. And I always enjoy seeing the youth as they come out to some of our things like firewood cutting, and they come out to help with Mission Blitz and opportunities like that. But in addition to that, they are becoming more like Jesus Christ in their actions and in their attitudes, and I'm proud of them. Sometimes you might come out on a Wednesday night and see all of the youth that are there for the meal, and they're going to move on into the Bible study, and you see them come in and in great numbers, and they're loud, and they have energy, and they're excited. But if you ever take the opportunity to just sit down with one of them and talk and just find out about their heart, you'd be amazed at the depth of their belief in Jesus Christ, their faith, and the love that they have for Him. So continue to pray for our youth, but we're glad to see them grow in numbers and in especially in their faith. Of course, we have adults in our church as well, because the youth eventually move on to become adults. We have a Sunday school program here at our church, and some of you are involved in that, and I would encourage you, if you do not have a Sunday school class, to be involved in that opportunity. Each Sunday morning to hear the Word of God, we have some wonderful teachers of the Word of God here in our church. And, here's an opportunity for you to pick whichever flavor of instruction you would like, because there are various classes and teachers to choose from. And I hope that if you're not a part of Sunday school, you'll be a part of that. But we praise God for our Sunday school, for the small groups that have met throughout the year. Some of those revolve around topics like grief. Some of those about exercise. Some small groups have been talking about marriage, and sometimes it's just about Bible study, and some of it's just fellowship. Our ladies and our men meeting for breakfast. Please take the opportunity to be a part of these things as well. This is the way that we grow as believers, when we meet together and we sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. In addition to what's going on with all of those different ministries that are geared toward our adults and our Sunday morning worship service and the music and all of these opportunities that we have a missions committee that is very active. And I would say that missions is one of the heartbeats of Quaker Gap Baptist Church. We all hear a lot about missions, but it's not just missions overseas, but it's missions here at home as well. And I think this emphasis has been well placed in recent days. Last year, we had a trip go out to Cuba. We were able to take up an offering as a church and to match, have that offering matched and to actually complete the work of the retirement home there in Cuba. And we praise God for each person that was involved in that. Whether you went to Cuba or not, you stood behind those who were involved in that ministry. Also, we already talked about the providing firewood for some folks. We've been a part of that already this year, making sure that there's enough wood stockpiled so that if there's a need, we can bring wood by the homes of people who need it. In addition to that, we've been involved in things like the Mission Blitz, which is the coming together of churches in our area to serve the needs of people around us. And we were able to build ramps and stairs and a new door and chop up some firewood and get a number of things, some yard work, a number of things accomplished through Mission Blitz this year. In addition to that, our missions team also held a Halloween event in downtown King. Many of the people who came downtown for the Halloween celebration there got a free hot dog and a free drink, a smile, and some good words, and also listened to some good gospel music that evening. So we just praise God for the things that are taking place, and there are opportunities. They pop up all throughout the year. And for those of you who have been involved, we praise God for you, and we hope that you'll take the opportunity to be involved in these things as we continue to do what God has called us to do and be who He has called us to be. Now, in addition to this, I also want to mention that we have seniors in our church. We have a little club that meets in our area, not just our church, but other churches, called the Friendly Club. And this church goes out on outings throughout the year and also has meetings here at the church. And Peggy Kaiser is doing a wonderful job of breathing new life into that group. And she has some wonderful ideas in the coming year about how to make that group even more meaningful. So if you are a senior in our congregation, don't be afraid to come to the Friendly Club, because there will be some very good informational sessions this year, as well as some of those outings and trips, and I hope you'll be a part of that. In addition, let me mention our Seeds of Hope ministry, which is a ministry that started right here in the heart of Quaker Gap Baptist Church, but has taken wings and has become an emphasis of a number of churches in our area, and is even probably going to be taken off on its own here very soon. Into its own nonprofit organization. We just praise God for what He has done through that ministry in making us aware of the needs in our community of at-risk children. And our Seeds of Hope ministry had two motorcycle rides this year, as well as their day camp and their continuing emphasis spiritually with these young people. And continue to pray for them and praise God for what He's doing in our area through the ministry of Seeds of Hope. Also, if you don't forget, at the beginning of last year, we added a new staff member, Darshan Hartgrove, to our team to work with our music and our worship ministry, and we praise God for her and just the joy that she has brought to that aspect of our worship. And we are thankful for our staff. Now, of course, there are other things that have taken place throughout there. You can't forget all of the little building improvements and maintenance that have happened. You've probably seen some of these. Some of these things you don't even know about. You just come and you worship and you leave. But the place is comfortable and the water flows, and there are things that happen behind the scenes that that are very important. And we praise God for Lloyd Allen and for those who work in addition with him in our Building and Grounds Committee and everything that they have done. In addition to that, we also have a budget and finance committee that meets from time to time to make sure that we're doing the right thing as far as our money is concerned. And I need to tell you, to be honest with you, that last year was a challenge for our church financially. We unfortunately spent more money than we gave as a church body, spent more than we took in. And so we're having to go back to the drawing board and think about next year's budget. And all I can do as a pastor is say, look, the Lord has blessed you, and as the Lord blesses you, just give. We'll worry about the spending. You just worry about what God has called you to give. And you know, we have asked each one of our ministries this year to just be cautious about what they spend. And you know what? Just because you don't spend as much money doesn't mean that you can't be creative and have quality ministries. Because really what ministry is all about is people reaching people. And that doesn't really cost anything at all. So let's think about this coming year about giving from what the Lord has put into our hearts and then using that money wisely and being good stewards of what God has done for us. We'll learn more about that next Sunday at our business meeting. Of course, throughout the year, there have been celebrations, there have been births, there have been marriages. In addition to that, we've also grieved the loss of some very important loved ones. And all of this has taken place on our church calendar and in our lives. And so I return to this question. What happened last year in your life? Have you taken the time to sit down and think it through? What was your journey like in the past year? You know, take time to think it through. Write it out. Go month by month. And then think about this. At the end of this year, how have you changed? How has God used the events of your life to change you? That leads us to some of our emphases for 2012. Just a number of these things I'm going to place before you that I'm praying about and thinking about, and I've heard others praying about and thinking about. For example, each year at this time, we talk about the fact that we don't have enough space as a church. If you come on Wednesday nights, especially some Wednesday nights for meals, you see how crowded that little room can get, but how much joy is in that room that night, and how much we enjoy each other's fellowship. It would be good to spread the fellowship out a little bit, though, wouldn't it? So we've been talking about our need for extra space in our fellowship hall, as well as extra space for our Sunday school classes, some of them that are crammed into rooms that are just too small for them. And we're going to readdress that issue this year. As a church, we have $500,000 in the bank. It's already there. It's already been collected. You have given faithfully to the Lord for a building, not even knowing what that building is necessarily going to look like. But there it is, $500,000 sitting in the bank in a CD, and I can tell you that it's not making a whole lot of interest in our economy right now. However, we have a great need as a church for more space, and we need to think about investing the money that you all have given and that God has blessed us with for ministry. So be in prayer about that. We're going to be having a town hall meeting as a church. We'll announce that, give you the opportunity to express your opinion about what direction we should move in as far as building is concerned and get that ball rolling. In some ways, I dread that as a pastor because it's a very difficult process. And everyone has different ideas, and you can't do everything that everybody wants to do. But on the other hand, I've seen that churches, when they come together and push an emphasis like this, that it can be an impetus for growth. So I pray that this year, as we think about that, that the Lord will lead us and guide us and bring us to a place of unity when it comes to the building. Also, let me emphasize fellowship for this year, that we have been called to love one another. And the ways that we do that as a church is through our small groups, through our Sunday school classes, through Supper 6, opportunities like that that we hope to restart, so that we can get to know one another, so that we can fellowship with each other. Also, in addition to that, let me just encourage you to just jump in. You know, one of the areas, the pieces that's kind of been missing in our church since before I've been here is a ministry that's geared toward our young adults. When I talk about that, I'm talking about those who come out of high school and are in their college years, and then maybe even a little bit after that. You know, I think some of our Sunday school classes still call themselves young adult classes, and they just don't want to drop that name. But let's be honest, some of them are not young adults anymore, right? I'm sorry to break that to you. All right, but I don't call myself a young adult anymore. But we do have some young adults in our church that need to meet together to get to know one another, to grow. And I praise God that there has been an emphasis, and some have been stepping forward. Hal and Kim Stoltz and Chris and Lori Dodson and some others have been getting together and meeting and talking about doing something and bringing our young people together. And I have heard a lot of excitement about this movement. And the group's going to be called Young Adult Journeys. There's information about it in your bulletin today if you want to read up on that. And those young people who would like to be a part of that. What I want you to do is just jump in. Just take the next step. Take the next step, whatever that means for you. As a believer in Jesus Christ who attends this church, I ask you to take the next step. It may mean membership. Maybe you've been coming, you've been enjoying church services, but you're not a member. We'd love to have you come forward and become a member of our church. One of the things that you need to know about our church is this, that when you become a member, we're not going to jump all over you and plug you into ministries right away. That we give you a year to just enjoy worshiping and being a part of the church. We don't plug you in right away. We want you to get to know people and get to find out what the church is like, so then you can make, at the end of that year, an informed decision as to how the Lord is leading you, what your gifts are, and where you would like to serve. So we're not going to jump all over you to begin with when you first join the church. Would you please get in nursery this week? That's not going to happen. But we want you to serve on your time according to the Lord's plan. So if you haven't become a member here, what's holding you up? We would like for you to come forward and become a member. However, maybe the reason that you're not a member is because you haven't been baptized and you've kind of been putting that off in your life. And or perhaps you haven't even put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ yet. You've been attending services, finding out about him. Listen, he died for you on the cross so that you could trust in him and become a part of his family, his body, for all eternity. And Quaker Gap is just one part of that family. We're not perfect, but we do the best we can to represent him well and to love one another. And we'd like for you to be a part of that if the Lord would lead you to do that. Also, ministry. If you're not involved in any ministry here in the church, we have lots of opportunities for you to work with your hands, to work with children, to work with young people, to work with missions, whatever it is the Lord has called you to do and to be, whether it's singing with the choir, there are multiple opportunities for you to minister, and we would love for you to get involved and to do what God has called you to do. And then also, let me mention missions, because you really get to know people when you work side by side with them on the mission field, whether it's somewhere else or whether it's right here in our own community. So when those opportunities come up, please jump in, make yourself available, and take the next step. I bring up those emphases, and I do it because I think it's important. But in addition to those, I want us with a laser-like focus this year to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. To maybe set aside all of the things that are in our world and in our lives that distract us. Even at times the things that we as a church get involved in that distract us, rather to step back and with laser-like focus to concentrate our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I've chosen as a theme for this year, All Eyes on Jesus. All Eyes on Jesus. Now, I know that doesn't rhyme. Some of you want it to rhyme, and it doesn't rhyme. But let me tell you, if I start rhyming this year, next year, we're going to be at 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and you just run out of words after a while. So we've grown beyond the rhyming stage. And this year, I want us to focus laser-like on the Lord Jesus Christ. All eyes on Jesus. There are reasons for this. And in fact, an interesting thing happened the other day. I was driving by Mount Olive Baptist Church, and they had a sign in front of the church that said, All In for Jesus, in 2012. And I thought, well, they stole mine, didn't they? Or did I steal theirs? I don't know. Well, they're not exactly the same thing, but I think what I have noticed is across this country, among believers in the United States, many of us have come to the recognition that we've left Jesus behind. We've gotten so involved in so many different emphases and causes and justice and all sorts of things that God would have us to do that are important, and we left Jesus behind. We can't do that as individuals or as a church. So I want us to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ this year. Now, where did this come from? This emphasis came for me personally through some reading and some prayer, through meditating on what the Lord would have us to do. But I kept coming back to this same thought in all of my reading, in all of my studying the Word of God, kept coming right back to this, that we all need to put our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because churches and Christians become so bogged down in details, we forget why we're here sometimes. Because of the little things the little details of life, we lose touch with the one great thing, the person of Jesus Christ. It's like a firefighter who shows up at the fire and begins to polish his truck while the fire is blazing. And people might walk up and say, what are you doing? Why are you polishing your truck? Well, it's getting spotted. There's water on it. I need to get the water off and polish the truck. It's very important that we maintain these vehicles. Well, yeah, it is important that you maintain your vehicles if you're firefighters. However, in the midst of a fire, you walk away from that vehicle and you have your number one responsibility to attend to. I believe our number one responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ is at the top of our bulletin each and every week. Our mission as a church is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people. That it is our desire as believers in Jesus Christ to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's why the church exists, to help you become more and more like Jesus Christ. So at the end of a year, we look back and say, am I more like Jesus Christ now than I was a year ago? If I'm not, then maybe we as a church or me as an individual, we haven't been doing what we've been called to do. We're polishing the truck when we should be putting out the fire. So how do we do this? Well, you know, some of the things we get involved in are important. Music and worship and all the different ministries we do, our mission trips, our building. We've talked about all these things this morning, our children's ministry, our youth events, all of these things. What happens is if we put our focus on those things alone, the things that make us feel good about ourselves. You know what I'm saying? At the end of a youth event, we say, didn't that go well? Did you see all the kids that were there? That was awesome. At the end of a cantata, we might say, wow, the choir never sounded so good. Wasn't that wonderful? Here's the deal, though. If our hearts aren't directed toward Jesus through all of these things, it doesn't matter what we do or how we do it. What's most important is this, that Jesus is number one, and that all of the things that we do line up with the focus that we have on him. All of these things are important. We need to keep doing them. We need to emphasize them. However, we need to emphasize them with our Jesus glasses on. So everything we see in our church is colored by who he is and who he has called us to be. Now, the question is are all of these things that we do leading us anywhere? Or are we just keeping ourselves busy? As churches, we need to ask those questions from time to time. Because I don't want to make people's lives busy unnecessarily. I'm not a guy who enjoys long meetings, and that's why we don't have a whole lot of long meetings in our church. However, what I think we need to do as a church is to put our focus 100% on the Lord Jesus Christ and let all of these other things be a part of what we do to know him and to love him and to serve him more. Here's a scripture I kept coming back to. It's Hebrews chapter 12, and you can turn there in your Bible with me this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, if you have your pew Bible, that's page 852. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So let's work through this passage in the time that we have left. The writer of the book of Hebrews was talking about a race that we are all running. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a part of this race that's taking place. Now, all of us are in the human race, but he's talking specifically here to believers, and he says, we are also in a Christian race. That each one of us is here to become more and more like Jesus Christ, to do his will, to glorify God. This is what we're all about. He just got through in chapter 11 talking about the faith of all of these great saints throughout the Old Testament. And now he says, look, since we have all of these wonderful witnesses that talk to us about what faith in God can accomplish, he says, let us run our race in the right way. Let us run our race properly, to become more like Jesus Christ, to be fully pleasing to Him in our actions. So here are the realities of this race that we are running, according to the writer of the book of Hebrews. The first reality is this, that the course is challenging. It's a challenging course. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to say, let us run this race with endurance, with perseverance. It takes perseverance to run this race, according to the writer of the book of Hebrews. For example, if you're training for a marathon or to run in any type of a race, it's going to require endurance and perseverance. It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of sweat, a lot of waking up in the mornings when you don't want to wake up and putting your sneakers on and getting out there on the road. It's going to take much difficulty to reach that place where you can actually run that race. Now, I know a lot of you aren't runners, so maybe I should use another metaphor for you. Let's say that it's your job to peel and to paint your house. Some of you maybe need to do that work. You look at the exterior of your house and say, now's the time, it needs to be done. But see, that requires endurance and perseverance to do that type of work. If you're like me, you hate that job. That is a lot of work to get the paint, the old paint off and to put the new paint on. It can be boring. It can be a trial. It can get hot out there. The fumes from the paint can bother you. But if you're going to get it done, if you're going to run that race, you need to persevere. The writer of the book of Hebrews says that that's true of our Christian life as well. Following Jesus requires perseverance. Being more and more like Jesus Christ requires endurance. And he recognizes there are some hurdles along the way. The hurdles, he says, are huge. He calls these hurdles out by name. He calls them hindrances and he calls them entanglement. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and let us run with perseverance. So if you're going to run this race and follow Jesus Christ and do what he's called you to do and be who he's called you to be, you need to expect that the course itself is challenging. It requires perseverance, but also that along the way there are hurdles, there are entanglements, there are sins that would wrap themselves around you and try to hold you back from becoming who you should become. There are old habits that die very hard in our lives. There are difficulties along the way, some of them of our own making, and some of them that just pop up and we run into along the way. Hurdles and hindrances and entanglements. We face these all because we are human and because we are all living in this life. So as you follow Jesus, expect these realities of the race. The course is challenging and the hurdles are huge. However, the writer of the book of Hebrews goes on to talk about Jesus and the significance of our Savior. We may have these huge challenges toward following him, but he says, look, it's worth it and it needs to be done if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. For example, Jesus is, first of all, the focus of our faith. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Focus yourself upon him, is what the writer of the book of Hebrews says. What is it about Jesus? Well, you know, it says here that Jesus himself is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Uses these two words to describe Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. In the book of Revelation, we're told that he is the Alpha and the Omega. They're very similar thoughts. He is the beginning of our faith. He is the end of our faith. But in addition to that, other translations say he is the pioneer of our faith. He is the one who has gone first into this world to show us what it means to be a follower of God and to live in truth and righteousness and love and justice. He is the one who has run that race perfectly. But not only is he the pioneer, the beginner of it, he's the finisher of it. He's the perfecter of it. He showed us that it can be done and it can be done perfectly. When I think of the word finish, I think of a piece of furniture. And when a fine craftsman is done making the furniture, they finish it completely. There's a fine finish that is put on it. And this is what Jesus is. He is the pioneer and the finisher of our faith. He's working in our lives as individuals and as a church to make us more like him. And he has led the way. So not only is he the focus of our faith, the one on whom we need to keep our eyes, but he is also our example of endurance. Because the passage says that he endured the cross for us because he recognized that it was worth it. Because it gave him joy to know that by going to the cross, there would be people with whom he would spend eternity. And so he died for us there and endured the cross for us, knowing that it was worth it. He is our example of endurance. Now, I hate to admit this during football season, but my favorite football team has always been, you know, at most times anyway, the New York Jets. Okay. Now, the New York Jets have a coach who has got a big mouth. All right, I got to admit that. He's got a big mouth. The beginning of the season, he said, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl. If we don't win the Super Bowl, then we've failed. Well, you know, they failed is basically what has happened here. Because here in the Jets' locker room, they started talking about the Super Bowl, and then they began to fight with each other over things like contracts and pride. And there was no real leader in their midst. And as a result of that, they were headed for the playoffs. It looked like a sure bet, and they lost 3 games in a row. And so there's no playoffs for the Jets, no Super Bowl. What happened, I believe, is that they took their eyes off of the prize, and they started looking at all sorts of other things. They lost their focus. They were no longer fixing their eyes on the goal. Same thing is true of someone who's plowing a field. When you plow a field, if you want to keep the line straight, you don't look at the ground around you to make sure that you're doing it properly, or the wheel of the tractor in front of you to make sure that you're going straight. You pick a line in the distance, a fence post, a tree, something in the distance, and you aim for it. And if you can do that, your chances of keeping a straight row are much greater. This is the truth that the writer of the book of Hebrews is telling us. Keep your eyes on Jesus. There are a lot of distractions out there, a lot of things we can get involved in, but if our eyes are on Jesus, all of these other things tend to fall in place. Finally, the writer of the book of Hebrews also says that Jesus is the reason for our rest. Look, he says that Jesus, at the end, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. After he died on the cross and rose again from the dead, he went to be with the Father in heaven. He's seated there at the right hand of the Father. What this tells us is that he has already won the victory, that the game is over. The battle is won. It's done. And we can rest. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We do what he's called us to do and be who he's called us to be. And we can do it in an atmosphere of rest and relaxation because it's already been accomplished. It's already been done. We as Christians aren't trying to fight a battle. We're actually just following what God has told us to do because we've already won the war. It's complete. It's done. I was reminded of that the other day when our daughter Avery went to a softball instruction time for about a half an hour, and she came out, and one of the things she said was that this coach was telling her how to swing the bat, said, look, the first thing you need to do is relax. Your arms, your legs, your body, you need to be relaxed because you can't swing a bat with any speed or accuracy unless you are relaxed. If you're tense, you can't do it. I learned the same thing when I started to play golf, which I've never gotten very good at. But anyway, they said when you swing the club, you don't want to grab onto the club like you're trying to choke a giraffe. You know, you're trying to relax. Relax your arms, relax your body, and allow the club to come through the ball. That's how you play the game. I think it's true of the Christian life, too. If we become all tense and out of sorts and cranky about becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, then we lose the true focus. Look, the game's already over. He's already seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he's calling us home. And he says, look, do my work. But relax, enjoy it while you're doing it. Have fun, be happy as you follow me. So he is our focus, he is our example of endurance, and he is our rest. Let me share a couple quotes from you from the reading that I've done this past year that has kind of led me to this point of emphasizing this with you as a church and in my life this year. One of those is from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German man who actually was a pastor in Germany during the time of Hitler. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer was willing to stand up for Jesus Christ and what he knew to be true, to defend the Jews, to stand against Hitler, to even be a part of the resistance. And then he died a martyr's death in a concentration camp as a result of standing up for the truth. And he says that Christianity without the living Christ is inevitably Christianity without discipleship. And Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. Those three last words make you pause. Christianity without Christ? Is that possible? Certainly it is. If we as the church, whether it's the local church or the church across the world, are so consumed with doing the work of Christ that we forget about Christ himself, then we're not honoring him. And then also a quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It is even doubtful, you know, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. It says in the Bible that the whole universe was made for Christ and that everything is to be gathered together in him." So what C.S. Lewis was saying is this. All of the things that we get all uptight and concerned about in our lives, if we're not becoming more like Jesus Christ, they're a waste of our time, a waste of our efforts. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. To know Jesus, to trust in him, to love him more, to follow him even more closely, to be like him more and more each day, to share Jesus with others with more passion, and to look forward to spending eternity with Jesus. These are the things that I'm going to concentrate on in this coming year. In my reading, you know, I've decided that through the Word of God, I'm going to concentrate this year on the Gospels, the stories about Jesus, the things that Jesus said, the things that Jesus taught. I'm not saying that the rest of the Bible is of no value, because it is. I've read through the Bible in numerous years. But I just this year said, you know what? I just want to concentrate this year on Jesus. I want to fix my eyes on him and to learn to love him more and to know him more. You might say, well, you know, you're a pastor. You know, I've been through 11, 12 years of formal education, learning about the Lord. You know, I've known about Jesus since the time I was born, and my mom used to come to my bedside when I was a little baby and talk about Jesus. I've known Jesus all my life. But you know what? Sometimes I think about it and I say, do I really know Jesus? I haven't even scratched the surface. This little brain, this little heart is not small enough to understand all of the truth about Jesus Christ. And so I want to focus more on him. My commitment is to major in the Gospels, to resist the urge to think that I already know him, to read the Gospels as if I'm coming to them for the first time, and to allow my life to be changed by him, and to be surprised and shocked by who Jesus really is, not the Jesus that I already have in my mind, that I think I know. There will be sermons on this. There will be a sermon series entitled All Eyes on Jesus. There will be small groups. A small group in particular, starting February, we'll be going through a series by Philip Yancey called The Jesus I Never Knew. I want to invite anybody who wants to be part of that. It'll be in the Fellowship Hall. You can be a part of that, as well as a number of other small groups that will be taking place at the same time. My challenge is this. Together, let's be known as people who love Jesus, people who follow Jesus, people who resemble Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on him with a laser-like focus. Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you keep your eyes on the things, you lose your focus on Jesus. If you seek him first, you get the things anyway. Everything else will fall into place when all eyes are on Jesus. Let me close by reminding you the story of Peter. I love that Peter, as he saw Jesus walking on the water, got this strange idea in his head, which was, I'd like to try that. And Peter got up on the side of the boat and he said, hey, Jesus, why don't you give me this opportunity? Call me out to walk on the waves with you. Now, Peter was smart enough not to just say, hey, that's cool, I think I'll try it. No, he said, Jesus, I know that I need your power and your strength to do this, so why don't you let me try? And Jesus said, okay, come on out, Peter, if you will. And Peter got out of the boat, stepped out onto the water, and walked on water. Incredible. None of the other disciples even thought to do this. This was Peter in his faith. He walked on the water. But we all know what happened immediately following that. He took his eyes off Jesus. He started looking at the waves. He started looking at his feet and wondering, how is this possible? This miracle. How is this taking place? What's the science behind this? You know, what happens if I suddenly fall in? Am I going to be able to swim? Will I be able to get out of this? He took his eyes off of Jesus and onto the circumstances, and he was swimming. He was in the water. And then he called out to Jesus, Jesus, I need you. What did Jesus do? He lifted him from the waves and saved him. There are times in my life, and I believe there are times in all of our lives, where we take our eyes off of Jesus and we sink. And we flounder. And we nearly drown. And we need to call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, look, I'm looking at you again. You are the focus of my life and my faith. Lift me up, Jesus. I want to encourage you to use 2012 as a year to do that. To fix your eyes on Jesus. To be led by him. To allow him to pull you up. To rest in him and to do his will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. And Father, in this coming year, as we concentrate on you and on your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that you would already begin the work in us of desiring to know him more. Father, it won't be enough for us to just rest on what we already know about Jesus. But Father, we want to know more. We want to love him more. We want to follow him more closely. We want to share him more. We want to look forward to being with him more. Father, help us to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Thank you for this church, Lord, for the many years of faithfulness that are represented here in this church body. And Father, we know that we cannot do anything apart from you. So fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to step out in faith to be your people. And Lord, may your name be glorified and proclaimed throughout this earth because of the work of Quaker Gap Baptist Church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.